hearts to hear you speak, Lord. You're a speaking God, and we want to hear from you. And we want you to be glorified in all that's said tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Welcome to everybody. My name is Cindy Fulton, for those of you that don't know me. And one announcement I'd like to announce about the women's retreat coming up, February 29th. It's going to be a great time. If you have not registered yet, you still have a chance this Sunday in the fellowship hall. We'll be helping you register there. Or by Monday is the last day to register online. So be sure and don't wait to do that if you're planning on going to the retreat. Okay, tonight we're going to be looking at the topic of diligence, and Proverbs has quite a bit to say about diligence. It also addresses laziness, which is the opposite of diligence. Now, most of us don't consider ourselves lazy, but we can be less than diligent in some areas, can't we? I mean, who hasn't started a diet and didn't finish it, or an exercise program and didn't continue it? So we all have areas that we need help in, or projects that you started. I recently got rid of a pot holder that I was crocheting, and I never finished. How sad is that? You can't even finish a pot holder. I kept saving it, think I was going to do it. Nope. So I finally just, I don't know what I did with it, gave it to somebody or the Hope Chest or something. But anyway, we all have areas that we struggle to be diligent in. I'm lazy when it comes to reading instructions. I don't know about you, but if I get something new, I call my husband over and I ask him to help me figure it out because he just knows how things work. He's just intuitive that way. There's no way I'm going to read that manual on, you know, if it's a new appliance or something. I'm the same way when I get a new car. The last thing I want to do is read the car manual. A few of you have ridden in my car know that. So I figure I find out things about my new car on a need-to-know basis. So the first month, I think, with my last new car, I learned almost all the alarms, what they meant. Now, unfortunately, when my husband is driving with me, an alarm goes off, he'll say, "What is that, Cindy? What does that mean?" I say, "I have no idea. Let's figure it out." So it makes him a little nervous. So maybe you shouldn't ride with me when I get a brand new car because I really don't know what I'm doing. Just turn it on. And anyway, so we all have areas that we struggle to be diligent in. And it's going to be different for all of us, isn't it? But there are consequences to not being diligent, and some of them can be serious. For example, the loss of a relationship when one or two are not both diligent in maintaining it, or the lack of basic necessities for people that are not diligent in working, or a lack of spiritual growth due to not being diligent in spending time seeking God. So tonight we'll look at what diligence is, what it looks like in our life, the obstacles that prevent it, and there are a lot. And we'll also look at how we can develop diligence in all areas of our lives. So first of all, diligence or its lack, it affects every area of our lives. It affects our relationship with God, with others. It influences our health, our jobs, our homes, even our eternal rewards. Well, what is diligence? I think most of us have an idea, but I like to define things. So a simple definition is to accomplish something to the best of your ability. So when someone's diligent, they get things done, don't they? They work hard. But it's more than just completing a task. It speaks of your heart attitude while you do that task. So I like the following definition that I came across, and it's more specific to Christians. This one was, diligence sees each task as given by the Lord to be completed with effort and care. So as Christians, we ultimately do all that we do for the Lord, and we accomplish it in a way that pleases Him. Well, for example, you ask one of your children to set the table for dinner. You come back, and it's not done, and they're watching TV. You ask them again to set the table. They get up and they do it, but they complain the entire time. Is that diligence? No. They did what you wanted them to do, but it was with a bad attitude. So to be diligent requires not only that we complete the task, but we do it with the right attitude as well. Here are some words that are similar to diligence. And it helps me to understand a topic when I add in words that are similar to it. So these words are determined, perseverance, steadfast, persistent, wholehearted, a hard worker, and industrious. Don't we want our lives to be described with those kind of words? I do. And yet you look around in our world today, and there aren't too many people that are living out those words, are there? Diligence is an important character trait, and God places a great value on it in a life. The theme verse I've chosen is Proverbs 12:27, and really the last part of that verse. And the last part of that verse says, "Diligence is a man's precious possession." Our culture does not value hard work and perseverance as it once did, but these values are still important to the Lord. David Jeremiah said, "Against the backdrop of people who avoid work, cut corners, and do half-hearted jobs, a diligent man stands out." And isn't that true? When you see somebody working really hard to do a good job, they do stand out. Our verse says that diligence is a man's precious possession. Well, precious speaks of something highly valued and even rare, like a diamond or a ruby. So in God's eyes, diligence is of great value. He's given us instructions in what we are to be diligent in. There are people that are diligently working hard, but it's not necessarily for the Lord. They may be diligently trying to get rich or gain fame. And even as Christians, can't we get busy and diligently working, but kind of doing our own thing, not necessarily something that God has asked us to do? So what does God call us to be diligent in? The first thing is to obey the Lord. And that's pretty obvious. Deuteronomy 6:17 says, "You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God." Well, that's not surprising, but notice that this verse says we are to obey them diligently. We are to do what the Lord asks us to do with our whole heart, with the right attitude, and great effort. Is our obedience quick, determined, and done with a glad heart? Or are we like the child who sets the table but complains about it the whole time? The second thing that God has called us to be diligent in is to teach our children God's commandments. Deuteronomy 6:5-7, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." And then here it is, "You shall teach them diligently to your children." There's that word again, diligent. What that looks like for every parent is probably different, but it is to be done with diligence. Then Deuteronomy 6:7 goes on to say, "You shall teach the commandments diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." From this passage, parents are to be teaching God's word right in the middle of everyday life. Another thing we are to be diligently doing is serving the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Those words steadfast and immovable are words that are very similar to diligent, aren't they? Anyone who serves the Lord knows that it's difficult. There's warfare, there's our own limitations, and more. It requires diligence to continue to serve the Lord. We can get weary, want to give up, but this verse in Corinthians encourages us to remember that what we do for the Lord is not in vain. He will one day reward all diligent service for him. Well, another area we are to be diligent in is to pursue spiritual growth. I think all Christians would say they want to grow spiritually, but Scripture says we are to be diligently pursuing it. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are to be determined that nothing will keep us away from God's word. There are so many things competing for our time, aren't there? If we aren't determined to grow in our knowledge of the scripture, other things are going to come in and distract us. We're also to be growing more like Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 7 says, well, I won't read it all, but a few verses ahead of that, Peter had mentioned that we're partakers of the divine nature. We've got the Holy Spirit. And then he says, we are to give all diligence to grow in all the virtues that look like Christ. So all Christians have the Holy Spirit. He's only able to live through us as we surrender to him and his control. We don't produce the fruit of the Spirit. We simply allow him to live through us. Another area the Lord tells us to be diligent in is to guard our heart. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The devil is no match for God, and we have the Lord protecting us. But we have a part to play in guarding our heart as well. To be diligent in this means that we never let our guard down. It means not only guarding our heart against evil, but also filling our heart up with God's word. And the last area, which kind of covers just about every area of our life, if you're noticing that, the last area that we're to be diligent in is to care for our family. The virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 is a picture of diligence. She willingly works with her hands, she provides food for her household, girds herself with strength, and does not eat the bread of idleness. I don't think any of us would purposely neglect our families, but sometimes other things take our time and our energy away from them. There have been times when I've gotten so busy that I've neglected my home. I have to periodically evaluate my schedule and make sure I'm not getting too busy. So to do something diligently, is it to give it our attention, our time, our energy, and our heart? Have we slacked off in any of these areas I've mentioned? And all of them are affected by our relationship with the Lord, aren't they? If we diligently seek him, everything else falls into place. He is the one who gives us the desire to be diligent, and he's the one that gives us the strength to be diligent. Okay, let's look at the opposite of diligence, which is laziness. One verse that strongly rebukes laziness is Proverbs 18:9. He who is slothful or lazy in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. When I first read that, I thought that sounded kind of strong, to compare laziness to someone who destroys. But think about how a job poorly done can affect others. We don't want a lazy surgeon or a pharmacist that cuts corners. We don't want a car mechanic that does a halfway job. We don't want our child's teacher to do just enough to get by. We don't even want the person at Taco Bell to space out and give us the wrong order, right? These things have consequences. So there's a tendency in all of us to take the easy way, to put comfort first, to do what we want rather than what God wants. That's because we still have the flesh. Because of Christ, we have power over the flesh, but it's still trying to tell us what to do. How does Scripture describe someone who is lazy? It also uses the word slothful or sluggard. You don't hear those words too often, but the Bible uses them. Even the words sound awful, don't they? Well, a trait of laziness is they will not work or take responsibility for themselves. Proverbs 24, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. So this proverb speaks of someone who has an excuse for why they won't work. But when it comes time to need food during the harvest, they'll go to someone else to get some of their food. Scripture says the result of not working is that you will have nothing. I'm not saying that all people who are poor are lazy, but there are people who don't have the basic necessities because they will not work for them. But lazy people are not always inactive either. They're not just sitting around on a couch. They may be busy doing things, they're just not doing what they need to do. And so that can be a problem of laziness as well. So another characteristic of the lazy is they are unreliable and a source of frustration. What happens when you ask a lazy person to do something for you? Well, there's a good chance it's not going to get done, or they're going to do it when they're good and ready to do it, right? Proverbs 10:26 talks about this. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. Notice from this verse that a lazy person not only affects their own lives, but they affect the people around them as well. It describes the frustration of someone who depends on someone who is lazy. Vinegar in your teeth, I don't even know. Ooh, it doesn't sound good. And smoke in your eyes, that's irritating and even painful. But it is frustrating to depend on people who are unreliable and lazy. Another characteristic of a lazy person is they routinely don't finish what they start. I told you about my project that I didn't finish, and we probably all have some things that we haven't finished. But a lazy person is going to routinely struggle with finishing anything. They'll start things, but they have trouble finishing them. And the first part of our theme verse, Proverbs 12:27, it talks about this. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. At first, I could not understand how someone would go to the trouble of killing some game for food and then not even bother cooking it. But maybe they expected someone else to do it, or maybe they procrastinated and just waited till it was too late to eat it safely. Whatever the reason, they didn't finish the task. So what does a pattern of unfinished tasks say about us? Are we too busy? Are we not able to complete things because we're spread too thin? And I think that's what happens with some of us. Or are we in the habit of procrastinating? I have struggled with procrastinating, and the Lord gave me some insight into why I was doing it, and it did help me to grow in that area and not do it so often. I'll tell you two things he told me about why I was procrastinating. One reason was I was just overwhelmed with the task. I mean, have you ever seen something you need to do and you just can't even, you don't even know where to start, and so you just put it off. And I realized that's what I was doing, so I'm learning to break things up into smaller, more doable tasks. And I mean, that may seem obvious to you guys that you're already doing it, but it took me a while to figure this out. So instead of saying, I need to clean my whole house, I might write on my little things to do, I need to clean the bathroom on Monday. And just doing that has helped make a big difference so that I don't keep putting things off. Another reason that I found that I was procrastinating is I would put off the things that I didn't want to do. I'd kind of put them last on my list. Well, you know how it is. You can't get everything done in one day, so you always put off that one thing that you didn't want to do because it's last, you didn't have time, and then you spend a lot, well, I did, I spent time dreading doing it, so I wasted time with that as well. But I'm learning to those things that I don't want to do and they're on my list, I just do them first. I really try to just do them first, get it over with, and usually they're not as bad as I thought. But it just, I don't waste time dreading it, I get it done, and I can feel a sense of accomplishment when it's done. The next characteristic of someone lazy surprised me when I read this verse. Proverbs 26:16 says, "The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly." I mean, that's pretty prideful. He's wiser than seven men that can answer sensibly. At first I thought, why would a lazy person be proud? I mean, they're not accomplishing too much, you know. But what I realized is that they're not proud of their laziness. They're lazy because they're proud. I never put this together. But they don't see their laziness as wrong because pride blinds. So a lazy man doesn't see his need to work. He thinks he's smart enough to get things another way. A lazy man doesn't see his need to do his part. In his pride, he's entitled to things. Working hard is for other people. He's special. He puts his comfort and what he wants above others, so he's also selfish. If other people have to work hard to help him, so what? It can be difficult to know how to respond to someone who is lazy. They can make other people feel guilty for expecting them to take responsibility. Scripture is clear. A lazy person is prideful and selfish and will suffer consequences as a result. We have to be careful when we step in to prevent these consequences from happening in their lives. We may be getting in the way of needed humbling. If a big reason that they're lazy is because of pride, and Scripture says that it is, when we jump in and prevent them from receiving the consequences God said that would happen, we may be preventing God working in their lives. It's a difficult situation to be in because sometimes a lazy person is also responsible for other people and you don't want them to suffer as well, but God will give wisdom if you're in some kind of situation like that. Okay, some consequences of laziness. I already mentioned a couple of them. It's going to make their relationships with other people hard. It's going to affect that. Lazy people may lack the basic necessities unless other people are helping them. But one of the consequences I haven't gone over is there's actually a loss of eternal rewards, and I wanted to talk about that. Our eternal rewards are affected by how we live on earth. So as Christians, we're on our way to heaven. There's no doubt about that because we put our faith in Christ. But a Christian who is not doing what God has asked them to do will miss out on rewards that God wants to give them. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, our works are like gold and silver that remain when tested, or they are like hay and straw that burn up. So our works are going to be tested by God. If they endure the fire of testing, we will receive a reward. It's sobering to think that how we live today will affect our eternal rewards. So it's good to stop and evaluate, and I try to do this as well. Am I doing what God has called me to do? So not many of us would consider ourselves a lazy person. I mean, I don't know. The women I know are busy, working, productive. They're doing amazing things. But we all have areas that we lack diligence in. So how can we be disciplined and diligent in some areas, but not in others? What keeps us from being diligent in all areas of our lives? So let's look at the obstacles that prevent diligence. Dwight Eisenhower said, "For every obstacle, there is a solution. Persistence is the key. The great mistake is giving up." I like that. For every obstacle, there is a solution. And we're all tempted to give up in certain areas of our lives, especially when we've tried and tried to be diligent in a certain area and we just can't. Or we get weary and tired, trials don't end, people don't change. It's important to understand what keeps us from being diligent. It's often the first step in fixing the problem. So the first obstacle is not recognizing how important diligence is. Some people just aren't taught how important hard work is. And the world, the flesh, and the devil, they say do enough to get by, do what you want to do or what you feel like doing. But God's word tells us that diligence is man's precious possession. We've already talked about that. So it's important to the Lord and it pleases him when we are diligent. The next obstacle is using excuses for our lack of diligence. There are creative people when it comes to coming up with some excuses. So I want to share a couple of funny ones that I came across in putting this teaching together. Okay, so one employee told her boss, "I didn't come to work because I woke up in a good mood and I didn't want to ruin it." I can't believe somebody had that could tell her boss that. Okay, so this is another woman told her trainer, she's working out, and she tells her trainer, "Exercise makes me hungry." So I'm taking a few days off, so I eat less. Well, that's understandable. But this is my favorite. A woman also told her trainer, I can't come into the gym today. I saw an ant, and I can't leave in case more ants show up. I could see saying that because I've had issues with ants. So I can see waiting for that. You know, they send out that, what is it, the scout ant or something. I can see that one. Okay, so we may laugh at these because they are obvious excuses, right? But most of our excuses are more subtle. In the areas we lack diligence, we can be tempted to make excuses for ourselves. But the problem is these excuses prevent spiritual growth. The Lord has been showing me some of my excuses, and I really didn't know I had so many. I didn't realize I was resorting to them, but some of the things I've been saying lately, his still voice says, that's an excuse. And I thought, oh man, I just didn't realize I used them so much. Probably because I'm getting ready for this teaching and I was thinking about it. So in thinking about excuses in this area of diligence, I was curious to what the word means. And I think we all know, but I was interested in this definition. The word excuse means to seek to remove the blame or provide justification. So what an excuse does is it puts the blame on someone or something else. Well, then I wondered, what's the difference between a reason and an excuse? You know, when you give a reason for something. Well, a reason is simply an explanation. But an excuse, it's a type of reason, but what it does is it tries to justify or defend. So an excuse shifts the responsibility to someone or something else. It's not my fault. For an example, I'm late for an appointment and I tell the receptionist, I'm sorry I'm late, but there was a lot of traffic. Is that simply the reason or isn't an excuse? Well, that depends. There may have been a car accident and being late was not my fault. But what if saying I hit traffic was more of an excuse I used? If the real reason was I just didn't allow enough time and then I used the traffic as an excuse. Do you see how excuses kind of shift the blame from us to something else? So if I blame the traffic, it's not my fault. But the problem with that is I don't see my need for change. If I admit to my part in being late, then it helps me recognize, oh, I need to leave a little earlier if I want to be on time. It helps us make those changes. So it's important to be able to see yourself as you give these excuses. Another reason we may use excuses is we don't think we can change. We may have failed many times to be diligent in an area, and we've just given up on ever changing in that area. But to give up is to miss an opportunity to see the Lord help you grow. For example, a friend invites you to start walking to get some exercise, and you tell her, I just don't have time to exercise. But the real reason is you've tried to exercise in the past and failed. And you know it'd be good to exercise, but you're scared to fail again and you use the excuse that you don't have time. A third reason, there's probably more, but I'm just giving you three. We can use excuses is because they sound better than the real reason. And I'll explain what I mean by that. But often our excuses, they sound more innocent than what's really going on. So an example is an excuse we may be giving for not having a regular quiet time is I'm extra busy right now. When things slow down, I will read the Bible more. Okay, that sounds like she's just too busy. But what if the real reason is the things I'm doing are more important to me than a quiet time? Oh, well, that changes it. So excuses allow us to hide what's really going on, but that prevents us to grow as well. So when we admit that we don't really have a desire for a quiet time, then we can ask the Lord for help. That's the beginning of the change for us. But when we hide behind excuses, we don't even see the need for change. We just give that excuse and, oh, well, that's how it is, and we move on. We don't always know when our excuses are not the real reason behind our lack of diligence. I don't always know. I need the Lord's help to point this out. And then I've also found it's helpful to ask myself a few questions regarding my lack of diligence. And these kind of help me pinpoint, is this really the real reason or is something else going on? So there's four questions I'll give you. The first one, am I surrendered in this area? That will help you figure out if this is the real reason or not. Am I indulging the flesh? Am I trying to be diligent in my own strength? Or do I love something or someone more than the Lord? And I've had to ask these questions, and I have found that these questions have been helpful to me to help me figure out what's really going on. And like I said, if we don't really know what's going on, we're not going to be able to make the changes or ask or even see the need to change. So excuses are obstacles to diligence and spiritual growth. They can be used to avoid responsibility or because we don't think we can change or to hide what's really going on. But we can't grow if we don't admit we need to. So how do we climb over this obstacle of using excuses for lack of diligence? First of all, just recognize them for what they are. For me, it was just beginning to see more and more of how I use them and just recognizing that I use them, but also to recognize they're going to prevent my growth if I continue. Second, to replace excuses with God's promises. The Bible's full of God's promises. And he will help us. So the excuse of I can't be disciplined in this area can be replaced with I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I mean, that promise alone covers just about everything that we could think we couldn't do. And then the third thing is quit settling for excuses and instead seek God's grace. So recognize them, first of all, replace them, and seek God's grace. Another obstacle to diligence is having wrong expectations of the Christian life. We can be tempted to believe that life is meant to be comfortable and without a lot of difficulties. Diligence involves great effort, hard work, inconveniences, perseverance, and more. So if we expect life to be comfortable, we're going to be tempted to quit when it gets difficult. We all struggle with the flesh and are tempted to take the easy path, but Scripture has given us a great example of what the correct expectation of this Christian life is, and it's found in 2 Timothy 2:3. It says, "Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So in this verse, our lives as Christians are being compared to a soldier. To me, that doesn't sound like a comfortable life, does it? So some of the hardships a soldier has is you're away from your home, your family, you're away from the comfortable things that you enjoy in your home, your time isn't your own, you simply do what your commanding officer tells you to do, you're required to be disciplined, follow the rules, you have a job to do, if you fail to do it, you and others may suffer. So a soldier doesn't enlist in the military thinking they're going to hang out by the swimming pool, right? They have a pretty good idea that the military requires hard work and discipline. They expect hardship, and that expectation helps them to remain diligent in their service. So no one wants to suffer, but we do need to recognize that it's part of being a Christian. Expecting hardship helps us to endure it and to press on by God's grace instead of quit. Another obstacle, there's quite a few, aren't there? No wonder we have trouble with diligence. So another one is we focus on ourselves instead of the Lord. We get discouraged when we look at our weaknesses, our past failures, and all insecurities and more. It's no wonder we want to give up in certain areas. But when we put our eyes on the Lord, his strength, that's what gives us the courage to go on. And I found it interesting, many of God's servants have gotten discouraged when they hear what the Lord is asking them to do. Remember Moses giving God several reasons why I can't lead the people out of Egypt. Gideon reminded the Lord that he was least in his father's house when God asked him to be a leader.
Well, what was God's response to them? And what is his response to us? He had a very simple response. He told them, I'm with you. The more we know God, the better we understand what a powerful statement that is, that he is with us. So keeping our eyes fixed on the Lord is key to remaining diligent and living a victorious Christian life. Focusing on the Lord is what inspires us to keep pressing on. The last obstacle we'll look at as far as a lack of diligence is a lack of desire. Some people just don't want to pay the price diligence requires, and I don't always either. Warren Wiersbe said, "Diligent hands come from a diligent heart." So our behavior can always be traced back to our heart. Our lack of desire always comes from what's going on in our heart. I like this quote, "Whoever loves much does much." So when you love someone, you want to do things for them, right? I'm not saying that everyone who loves God works nonstop, but when we lack diligence, it may be a symptom of our lack of love for the Lord. John 14:23 says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." I remember years ago asking God to help me become more diligent and disciplined in an area of my life that I just kept failing in. And his response to my request for more strength or changing me or whatever I was asking, lots of things, was that verse, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." So I realized my real problem was I needed to grow in my love for the Lord. And that's been a major focus of my life ever since. My ongoing prayer is, Lord, help me love you more. It simplifies everything. As our love for him grows, so does our desire to obey and please him. Some of our diligence can be traced back to our lack of love for the Lord. We love something or someone more than him, but he is so gracious. He'll meet us wherever we're at, and he'll increase our love for him. So we've looked at some of the obstacles that keep us from diligent. Let's look at how diligence is lived out and how it's described in Scripture. This quote by Leonardo da Vinci says, "O Lord, you give us everything at the price of an effort." I had to read that a couple of times to make sense. "O Lord, you give us everything at the price of an effort." So in other words, everything is a gift from God, but there is work for us to do as well. What is our part in living this diligent life? Well, first of all, be diligent in the small things. Matthew 25:21 talks about that. It says, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" In some ways, it can be easier to be faithful in the big things, can't it? Rather than the small, everyday, mundane things that we do day after day. What we do may not be noticed or appreciated by anyone, but the Lord sees. He sees it all, and he notices our diligence in the little things. Being diligent in little things also prepares you for greater responsibilities. The verse I just read says, "You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." Warren Wiersbe described this well when he said, "Diligent labor fits us for the next responsibility God has for us." I like that. Joseph was faithful in suffering when he was put in prison unjustly, and it prepared him to rule Egypt. David faithfully cared for a few sheep, and God gave him an entire nation to shepherd. How we manage what God has already given us determines if he can trust us with more service. If you are faithful in the small things, the Lord can trust you with more. Another characteristic of the diligent is they have a plan. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty." So having a plan or a goal gives us direction. It helps us stay focused and on task. It enables us to figure out what to say yes to and what to decline. And this plan should be made with the Lord, asking him, "What do you want me to do with my day?" Sometimes I just get off on doing the things on my list, and I forget to ask God, Lord, help direct my day. Even though I have these things I need to do or want to do, will you help let me know what you want me to do? So a plan can be as simple as a list of things to do for the day. It doesn't have to be a big thing. Having a plan also helps us to determine our priorities. Throughout my day, I look at my list and make adjustments because I realize sometimes I'm not even doing the most important thing on my list. When I have a plan, it helps me say no to distractions. I'm starting to, when I'm out shopping, I try to look at my watch and say, okay, I need to be back by such and such a time, because I can waste hours out in shopping just doing different things if I don't keep track of time. Others of us may need to put limits on computer games or social media, but we all have things in our lives that tempt us to waste precious time that isn't ours to waste or to it's the Lord's time. Also, if we don't have a plan, other people can give us their plan for our day. Have you noticed that? So it only takes a few minutes to sit down probably most of you are already doing this, but it was brought to my mind because of that Proverbs, having a plan. It mentioned that it helped with diligence. Okay, another trait of the diligent is they are growing spiritually. We talked a little bit about that already. Diligence is one of the keys to spiritual growth. So are we diligent in having a quiet time? Are we diligent in attending church? Are we diligent in serving the Lord? Do we love the Lord with our whole heart? Diligence to seek Him and serve Him comes from our love for Him. So if our love is lacking, like I said before, He is going to help us grow to love Him more. The Lord doesn't ask us to do any of this in our own strength. So that leads us to our next characteristic of the diligent, and they depend on God to give them the diligence they need. Paul is a picture of diligence, isn't he? He didn't allow anything to keep him from serving the Lord. I like this verse in Colossians 1:29. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So this verse gives me hope, because Paul said it was God's strength in him that was helping him to be so diligent. Another verse that gives me encouragement is Galatians 5:23, when it says that self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. We need self-control, don't we, to be diligent? But that's a fruit from the Holy Spirit. We may not be seeing self-control in certain areas because we aren't surrendered in that area to the Lord, because the more we surrender, the more the Holy Spirit will live out His self-control when we submit to Him. It's His power and it's His strength. Another trait of the diligent is they are a hard worker. It doesn't mean they're the smartest or the most gifted or talented, but it means they strive to do their best. A diligent person gives their all to everything they do. So how can we be diligent in all areas? Well, it's possible when we remember we do it all for Christ and we do it in His strength. Another verse from Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. We can become weary of giving love that is not returned and doing things for those who don't appreciate it. But Scripture reminds us that all we do is ultimately for the Lord, and He deserves our diligence. And when it's difficult to serve others, we can do it for the Lord as an offering of love to Him. There's something about doing a task for the Lord that changes a mundane, everyday thing into something very special when you do it for Him. It's just another way you can show your love to Him, and it does bring joy. A diligent person is a hard worker, but they are working for the Lord. It doesn't mean they don't get rest or enjoy recreation, because God is not a hard taskmaster. But it does mean they work hard for the Lord, because He is worthy of nothing less. Okay, so almost our last thing, how to develop diligence. First of all, recognize its importance, and we've talked about that diligence is man's precious possession. It's very, very important to the Lord, and it should be important to us. Number two, remember it's a heart issue. The quote I shared earlier about diligent hands are directed by a diligent heart. So our behavior can always be traced back to our heart. Is our love for the Lord growing? As our love grows, so will our diligence. The more you love someone, the more you want to do things for them. And thirdly, it's done in the power of God. We don't become more diligent by trying harder in our own strength. We have the Holy Spirit, and He's the one that gives us the diligence. So the more we surrender, the more we give Him control, the more His self-control is lived out in our lives. The flesh is going to give you excuses. God will give you the grace you need. So just some practical tips, and I'll end with this. First of all, pick one area to grow in diligence. I don't know about you, but I see more than one in my life that I need to grow in, and it can be overwhelming. But just try picking one, because as we see God work and help us to become more diligent in that one area, our faith grows, and we see He can help us become more diligent in many of the areas that we need His help in. And if you don't know what area you need to grow in, ask Him. He will show you. There's one area that He wants you to start with, I'm sure. Number two, remember excuses can be used to shift the blame instead of taking responsibility. So those questions that I gave you earlier, am I surrendered? Am I indulging the flesh? Am I trying to be diligent in my own strength? Do I love something more than God? Those questions help us pinpoint, is this the real reason I'm not being diligent, or is it something else? And then third, choose a promise from God that assures His help to you to grow in this area. So replace the excuse. If that's what you're using, maybe you don't use excuses. I'm not saying everybody does, but if you do, replace it with a promise from God's word. And number four, have a plan to just do one or two things that will help you become more diligent in this area. As you see the Lord help you in this one area, your faith is going to grow, because you will see that he can help you in all areas of your life. You're going to be encouraged. So the topic of diligence, it can be overwhelming because it affects all areas of our lives. And it can be discouraging. I don't know about you, but there's many areas that I have failed for a long, long time to be diligent in, and I continue to struggle with them. But God wants to give us hope in this area of diligence. The areas we failed before, well, they just teach us how much we need God. He has promises for us to replace any excuses that we may be using. He has promises that will give us victory. And as we do our part and diligently seek Him, our love for Him grows, and then we want to do even more for Him. It becomes a greater joy to diligently live for God, who has done so much for us. So let me close in prayer. Lord, thank You for tonight. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for what You have to say to us regarding diligence, and how it is a precious possession for us to have. And so we just ask for You to help us grow in any area that we're lacking diligence in. Give us wisdom and insight into maybe why we lack diligence, or however You want to work. Each one of us are different, and You have spoken to each one of us in different ways, Lord. So may we be encouraged that You stand ready to help us, and just continue to help us grow in our love for You. In Jesus' name, amen.